It's an honor for us to have live tonight in Western North Carolina, Mr. Ricky Morton, the Hall of Famer Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express. Hey, Ricky, what's going on, man?
Hey, that right there set the indoor record for the longest intro ever.
That's it, baby.
Man, ain't nothing going on. Just another day at the office, fellas. Man, I always loved North Carolina. That's with Robert and I, first won the NWA belt. You know, it was Mid-Atlantic, NWA, Jimmy Crockett. Gosh, man.
Yeah.
Man, it's been a long ride. Yeah. You hear me?
Well, let me tell you a little bit what we have here. I know enough. I loved it, and I loved it, and I loved it when it was what I call the real wrestling, when it was the Crocketts and you guys and all the stuff. And but we have with us tonight, I have a wrestling connoisseur that since he was a little boy until today, professional wrestling, he knows everything about you, everything about most of the matches you were in. Branson Reese, he walked in here tonight and he said, man, I've had an upset stomach all day. He said, I'm so nervous. I said, my goodness, that's awesome. So Branson's going to be with us. But real quickly, before we start talking about things in the past, I want to make sure that people understand that right down in Chucky, Tennessee, which is if you get in a car from here, you can go down 40 to 81, or you can go 26 down into Greenville, Tennessee. It's about an hour away. You have the School of Morton, probably one of the preeminent wrestling schools in the country. And I'd like you, before we start talking about all the stuff that we really want to talk about, I want to make sure that you tell people about that, because we have people here that should get in their car and go spend some money with you.
Well, you know what, dude? I have a couple of guys that come over from Asheville every Tuesday, every Sunday. Matter of fact, one of the fellas moved over here to Greenville. Man, I opened the roster School of Morton. I opened it up about 5 years ago. And, man, I wished I would have done this 20 years ago. It was one of the, it's just teaching kids. You know, I have a lot of different kids at my school, all different kind of personalities. But see, the first thing before you can do, I have a lot of guys that kind of get frustrated when they come to the school. See, you have to understand my business before you can learn it. You know, it's just not about a drop kick or a hurricane corona. It's not about that. It's a learning business. So that's what I do at school, man, and I love it. You know, I'm in a business that I totally love. It's never a, if they tell you if you do something you love, you never work a day in your life. Well, that's a bunch of bull crap. But what I'm trying to say is I love my business. I love my school. Guys want to come over and check it out. You know, not only that, I have a museum there. I collected everything. You know, I've been wrestling, guys, 47 years.
Wow.
It's a long time. And after the 47 years, I have kept all the stuff. Now I know I'm an old man. You know what? My birthday is this Saturday. Can you believe that?
Happy birthday, big dog.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be 29 again. People ask me all the time, Ricky Morton, you ever going to retire? So, man, this is all I know. But, you know, as long as I feel good and I still perform, because I tell everybody, and you got to understand this, dude, if I can't give you your money's worth, that's when I quit. But I do. I still, man, I'm going to keep myself in shape. I work hard. I'm just, I'm in a young man in a 62-year-old body. but I do good, man, and I love what I do. So, and I know it's coming to an end. I know it's going to have to. That's why somebody asked me the other day, they said, Ricky Morton, you walk a little slower to the ring. I said, yes, I do, because I want to enjoy every second when I come out of this curtain. Thank you, Derby. And still do that.
That is so awesome. And I'm going to kind of sit back and let Branson, you got, he's going to talk to you about some things and I hope he jogs some memories for you. And I'm looking forward to hearing some stories, Ricky.
Okay, buddy.
And we appreciate
that. I do the best
that.
I can here.
And, man, we appreciate the heck out of it. So our show is your show tonight. When you want to go, you tell me goodbye. So we'll be here as long as you want us to.
Okay, buddy. I mean, I'll tell you a few things, but you know, it's like everything else. You know, I have 7 children, 8 grandkids.
Yeah.
Life is on a schedule.
That's it. I know how it is. Let Branson go here real quick, so we'll get.
All right, man. Let's get it done.
Hey, Ricky, how's it going?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, if I have a bad day, it's my own fault.
Well, you control your own destiny, I guess, on that part. So.
Oh, yes. Can't we, though?
That's true. Hey, listen, a few things I want to ask. You know, I guess with the way I started out, you know, the way Vince has kind of bought up all the territories.
Yes.
You know, the indie scene for years was always small. Like, you know, I can remember, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, me and all my buddies would come down to Clyde, North Carolina. You know, we'd either come to the Clyde school gym or come to the Armory or to the Armory in Waynesville, or, you know, even come, you know, back in the 80s, come to the Asheville Civic Center to watch our wrestler, you know.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
That's okay. And, you know, with Vince buying up all the territories now, the indie scene is starting to slowly, I think, make a big comeback right now.
Well, you know, it can make a comeback, but it's so hard because when you have a territory, you got to have good TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like your major channels that's on TV, that's, you know, too expensive to get that. Small territories, you know. You know, Smoky Mountain was the last small territory that I worked. Man, I had so much fun there. But it's still a hard business. You know, there's a lot of good wrestling groups that are out there.
Uh-huh.
That are still, you know, they're expanding their way out, like Ring of Honor and the show that Cody Rhodes just had in Chicago. You know, see, I'm glad for people like that right there because it gives more opportunities for more of the boys.
Yeah.
You know, when you had territory, you know, when I was young and I started in business, gosh, man, I worked Oklahoma, I worked Kansas City, I worked Portland, Oregon. Bill Watts.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, gentlemen. And, in Texas, you know, you look at the state of Texas, you have maybe 5 or 6 different territories just in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Because it was so big. I mean, you had the Dallas, the Von Erichs, you had the Funks up in Amarillo, Ball Botch over in Houston, you had the Blanchards in San Antonio, Hector Chavo Guerrero, their daddy and him ran over in El Paso. So, I mean, it was unbelievable that the territories you just had in one state.
Yeah.
You know, in Tennessee, here where I'm from, gosh, you know, you had the Fullers in Knoxville, you had Nick Gulas in Nashville, then Jerry Jarrett eventually, you know, he was in Memphis, but he eventually took that all over in Kentucky and working those territories. You see, man, that gave the guys the opportunity to work every night. And that's what our business is only missing in the territories, because the guys nowadays, and please don't get me wrong, you know, it's the difference between independent wrestling and outlaw wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I meet so many different guys that some of them have less business been in our business as me flying a space shuttle. I mean, I'm serious. It's,
yeah.
But small territories, I mean, you know, it's just as long as you keep a good group.
Yeah.
I hope, you know, to me, I hope it opens up for all the boys. That way they can learn our business a lot more.
Yeah, you know, you talked about
the all in for guys. I'm sorry,
you're good.
You know, you were talking about the all in with Cody Rhodes a couple weeks ago. That was, you know, the tickets for that sold out so fast, and you know, and I think he got so many rave reviews, and you know, with and then with him winning that championship that Dusty won, I think, you know, that to me sort of went old school. You know, and I thought that was really cool.
You know what, and I like something that you just said here, old school, because to me, you know, that you can hear all these guys say, oh, it's new school and it's old school. It's neither one of them. It's called the right way.
Yeah.
And I got to hand it to Cody. He done it the right way. It's no matter what you got. If you have something that the people want to see, they'll come see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. You know, I just found out, you know, this Thursday night I'm going to be over in Johnson City, but I'm going to be not wrestling. Chris Jericho, his band, is going to be in Johnson City Thursday night because they were supposed to play, I think, over in over North Carolina in the floods and everything, ruined it. So they're coming in. And see, if you got something people want to see, I think they're already sold out.
Wow.
They just announced it today. You know, so you got something that people want to see.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't make excuses either, man. That's same way when I wrestle. You know, people say, well, we got this going on tonight, get this going on tonight, but hell, you got McDonald's open too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you you got something that people want to see, they'll come and see it. And I like guys like that, the ones that understand what our business is all about. And what it's about is putting behind in seats. And that's what you do in our business.
Yeah. So, you know, and you said you liked how I said old school. So let's step back old school right here. Let's go back to when the Rock and Roll Express was formed. Was that an idea for you and Ricky or you and Robert, or was that a Jerry Lawler thing?
No, buddy. It was all Jerry Lawler. You know, and when you work small territory, and I tell you the right thing, buddy. I'm just going to start right here. I'm not going to hold no slack on you. I was wrestling San Antonio at the time with my partner. I was partners at that time with Ken Lucas.
Uh-huh.
You see, and working with guys like that right there, man, is what taught me the business. And that's what the promoters seen in a lot of things that we've done, even though that we were smaller. But, I studied our business. I learned from the best. You know, people used to tell me, Ricky Morton, you're the best baby face ever. And no, I'm not. Ken Lucas was. But he taught me. You know, he's dead now. But see, guys, man, it's the old school wrestling. But I was down here, and at the time, I think Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett were fighting, and they weren't going to go opposition. And Jerry Jarrett had the fabulous ones, Stan Lane, Steve Kern.
Mm-hmm.
So Lawler was going to go opposition. He wanted the tag team. And me and Robert, you know, he'd come to San Antonio, Texas, asked me about teaming me and Robert up, and we could come up with a gimmick. So, and going back to Memphis, I'm from Nashville.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going home, and been on the road for a long time. And we went back to Memphis, and they was looking for a name for us. You know, it was Robert. I mean, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, R&R, and Jimmy Hart. So what about the Rock and Roll Express? So, and that's how all this came about.
And, yeah.
Needless to say, they didn't split up. Me and Robert went there, and we played second fiddle to the Fabulous Ones until Bill Watts and Bill Dundee took us to Louisiana.
Now, Robert was... He had a good career going along with his brother, Ricky, too, right?
Yeah, he was going on with his brother, but, you know, it's but you got to understand, they were good. And this is one thing you got to understand. And it's like they were from Florida.
Yeah.
And it was hard for them to keep a job in Florida and stay there. See, because the Fullers owned it, and they owned it at that time. You see, when you're a babyface tag team, and they're a babyface tag team, well, you got about as much chance as a snowball. You know where I'm talking about getting the job. Now it's good for heels. Do you understand what I'm saying about this?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm just telling you the truth. That's why it was so hard in our business, because you know small territories are owned by the work. You know, that's what was good about Memphis. At least they gave you a chance to earn money. You hear me?
Yeah.
And at this time, Bill Watts was going through a whole different scenario.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't have, you know, Kamala and Big Jim, that one-man game, do you baby faces, you understand?
Yeah.
Our business was changing. It was time to draw women, draw girls. And that's when Robert and I went to Louisiana. I mean, it just, we come in as an All-America team wrestling, Nikolai Volkoff, and, you know, he just died not long ago. And Barry Dorso, and they really got us over until we shot the angle with the Midnight Express. And dude, that made history.
Jim Cornette and you. You and Jim Cornette were so good together.
Oh, you know, we still are.
You were unbelievable. I saw a couple of videos today. I own a business, and I was sitting in my business today, and people said, hey, we need to talk to you. And I said, no, I'm busy right now. And I was watching videos of you and Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
You guys were unbelievable.
Well, thank you. It was a whole new time and era in our business, you know. But it takes everybody to get, you know, the heels got us over, and the baby faces got all them over it. You know, in our business, it's not just one person. It's everybody. Everybody working together, making one thing click. But Jimmy Cornette in the Midnight Express, you know, and see, you got three of them. You know, you had the time with Dennis Condrey and then Bobby Eaton, and then, you know, Dennis, and they made Stan Lane, which is one of the fabulous ones, the Midnight Express. And gosh, I'm serious, guys. We in tag team wrestling, we made history in wrestling. At that time, you didn't have all the big arenas that you have now. You had big ones. You know, I'm talking about in 1983, once every 6 months, Bill Watts would run the Superdome. And that was our big show. That's what started closed circuit and pay-per-view TVs.
Yeah, wow.
You know, he started doing it every, you know, nowadays, you know, WWE does one every month, but they have the real big ones that they do. Gosh, I mean, in 1983, Robert and I wrestled the Road Warriors in the Superdome. And you got to understand, at that time, when you draw 40,000 people, it's unbelievable. It's unheard of.
It's a good payday.
Well, for the promoters.
Yeah.
You see, the promoters always got the first count.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we did all right. I didn't, you know what, Dennis? Robert and I never made the millions of dollars. But, you know, and I'm telling you truthful, some of these guys make more in a night than we made in 10 years. Yeah. And I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And you know, and you didn't have all the luxuries that you had now. I mean, we were in cars driving a lot of these shows and back and forth. But you know what? By not making no money, and I'm just going to tell you this right, it was my own fault. And my own fault was because I was not educated enough to know. You know, all I knew was I was a rock star and the promoters. And that's just the way it was, buddy. I mean, I'm not blaming nobody. The only person I'm blaming is myself. But it was a whole different era in our business. Our business was actually sacred. I mean, you know, nowadays, gosh, man, they know every move they're going to do before they even go to the ring. And then if it messes up, they don't know where to go. Their match is dead.
And let me ask you, and I wrote this down on my little piece of paper today as I was preparing for this. Of everywhere you've been, to Japan, you've been all over the world. What is your favorite memory or favorite event or what you did in the squared circle? I've been curious all day.
Oh, my favorite time was when I wrestled, when I had to run Ric Flair.
Yes.
Even though we had a lot of great, don't get me wrong, we made history with that, but you see, when it takes a lot to be, you know, to go into the single matches. And it was a great opportunity for me, but I worked hard for it. You know, Rick and I, like, people don't even know, you know, you've seen us wrestle on TV, but we might have come to your town, to Asheville, which I did, we do an hour time limit.
Yes.
But me and Rick, we did our time limits every night. You understand me? You know, we wrestled at that time in Asheville on Sunday afternoons.
Yep.
Yes. And, okay, me and Rick, I do an hour in the Civic Center at the time in Nashville. And then we'd go to the airport because we had a Crockett plane, and we'd fly to the Omni and do another hour that night. And that, to me, that was the greatest time, and I learned so much about our business, wrestling, Rick. You know, I could say this before we go any further. You know, Rick was the real world heavyweight champion. Yeah, at that time you had, you know, Hulk Hogan and all, but Rick, when you, and I learned this from Rick, you know, when you paid to see Ric Flair, he gave you his money's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't go 10 minutes in a match. He didn't go 15 minutes. I mean, if you didn't go an hour time limit, he still made the match go 56, 50 minutes, 55. You know, I mean, he gave you your money's worth. And, well, and that's what I appreciate about Ric Flair, and that's what I love working about it. And I still carry that with me now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because he would work he would work the crowd all the way to the ring, which was
that's what it's all about. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not what you do, it's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, my first memory of the Rock and Roll Express, I guess, was about 85, and you know, I guess it was Mid South with Crockett, and I'll never forget as a kid, you know, so like you said, Sunday afternoon coming over to Asheville Civic Center, and it never failed. We had a Sky City in Waynesville, and I would always see those, you know, those bandanas that y'all wore, and I'd be like, I've got to get me two of those bandanas to wear to the Asheville Civic Center to be like the Rock and Roll Express.
You know what? That's some of the greatest compliments in the world. You know, we just the other night, you know, we were wrestling, and which I still wrestle a lot of times by myself. You know, I got to fly to Kansas City by myself this weekend. I'm out there. I do a seminar, and I wrestle in a couple of different towns. But when people bring, me and Robert was there, they brought pictures they took with Robert and I 30 years ago, you hear me? And they're older now, but they all of them had the bandanas on, Rock and Roll t-shirt. You know, people bring, a lady the other night brought a t-shirt that she bought when she was 11 years old. You know, she's like 44 now. And, God, I tried every way in the world to get it from her. I know, but it was too. That's a great compliment, so, man. I appreciate that. But, yeah, you know, we had a trend going at that time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, yeah.
And you know what? We put a lot of rock groups. At that time, you know, you could use, you know, you didn't have all the things with music going on.
The royalties.
And how many people heard of ELO until Robert Knopf come out? Whammabama, rock and roll is king. And guys don't even appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it is. Yeah. We sold a lot of records for those guys.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, you know, I thought about today, I was going to ask you who your favorite feud was, but I know you're going to say probably the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette. Who would come in, I guess a distant second as far as your favorite?
Oh, in a second? Oh, yeah. God, it had to be Ivan Koloff. Nikita Koloff and Barry Darso. Well, you know what, guys? That's a hard question to ask me. Because, you know, at that time in our business, everybody was great.
Yeah.
You know, see, when I said that, yes, all of a sudden the Four Horsemen pop into my mind.
Yeah.
But you had a different. You had Tully Arn.
Yeah.
You had Arn and Lex Luger. You had Barry Windham. You had, you know, because it was a bunch. And we drew a lot of money. I don't know if you remember when Ric Flair rubbed my face in the thing. My face up. You know, we had a great run with the Four Horsemen at that time. We never knew what team we were going to wrestle. That was great. But Ivan Koloff and Barry Dorsa, they really got us known worldwide. You know, when Robert and I beat them our first night in Shelby, North Carolina, for the World Tag Team. And if you go back and watch that, look at that match. Went, it was a whole hour time limit of the TV show.
Wow.
And the match went like 50-something minutes, and it took commercial. That was the first time you've seen the commercial breaks in the shows. During the match, if something happens, we're going to come right back and show you. It's really great. You know, Ivan, I learned a lot from Ivan Koloff, too. He was one of the great teachers of our business.
And I'll say this.
With him.
I hate
and that's
this.
Where I carry my stuff back to my school of Morton is from, with working all these great guys in the ring, Ole Anderson and Ric Flair, like I said earlier, and Ivan Koloff. My time with Dick Murdoch, Terry Funk. You know, I work with so many of the great ones. It's hard for me to even pick one.
Yeah.
Besides my most single view, that was with Ric Flair. But because I'm telling you, we wrestled. You know, the grapplers. We, you know, had a good run with them. And, matter of fact, the Heavenly Bodies, which was Tom Pritchard and Jimmy Del Rey, managed by Jimmy Cornette. There were so many good ones. It's hard for me to pick, tell you what my secret favorite was.
Yeah. And here, my thing, when you said Ivan Koloff, I think it's time that Vince puts him into the Hall of Fame. I hate that he can't give an introductory speech.
Well, you know what, dude? I see it happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know, they, you know, when they called us and you put us in the Hall of Fame and
well deserved.
When Hunter Hensley told me, he says, we can't have a real Hall of Fame unless the Rock and Roll Express is in it.
Yeah.
And,
that's true.
Yes, you know, it gave me chills. Hell, it made me cry. I'm telling you, dude. I mean, after all these years, you know, because Robert and I never wrestled for Dugan.
Yeah.
I mean, we made a couple of shows.
Yeah.
At Smoky Mountain Wrestling on WWF. But we just was in there maybe doing a show. We never were under contract or wrestled for them.
Yeah. Now, I got to say this right fast. My cousin talked to you down at the Knoxville Comic Con back in the end of June. And he said, and he said you'd invited him over to Chucky, Tennessee, and and he's like me. We get a little awestruck when we get around you and stuff, and you know.
Well, no, man. I'm just an old country boy.
Well, he wanted me to ask you.
I love people to come down.
He wanted me to ask you. He wanted me to ask you that you know, after being a part of WrestleMania 14, you know, which was sort of, you know, the later years. He says, do you have any regrets of not making the move to the WWF earlier in your career, or have you always been glad that you stayed loyal to the NWA and WCW?
Now, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I wouldn't change it for anybody.
Yeah.
No. I liked where I was at. You know, time changes.
Yeah.
Our business has changed. You know, I'm 62 years old and I still dream. And everybody out there, never give up on your dreams.
Yeah.
You know, my goal is not to be a superstar at WWE. I mean, that's for them young boys. But, you know, Robert and I were just too early.
Yeah. No, you weren't.
But.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You guys were right where you were supposed to be. You made a lot of people smile. And you guys did a hell of a job of making sure that people got their money's worth. And I know that we've kept you a long time, and we're going to let you go. But before you go, I want to emphasize to everybody, and I've tried to do my due diligence. Not only do you have the school, but I think that you don't you have don't they have a wrestling where they're actually wrestling on
yes,
certain
I
nights
do.
Of the week.
I sure do.
Tell
man.
Everybody we, about that. I want folks because hey, we're right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, if anybody wants, I'm gonna tell you what, guys. If everybody that's listening out here, go on Facebook, the School of Morton. And matter of fact, I run TV shows off my Facebook, but I have a TV. But I show them on my Facebook. We do TV around, man. We do really good. It's all for my students at my school. I do wrestle on some of the shows that we go out on to help. But, man, I have got some stars of the future that's coming up. So, guys, you check me out on there. Instagram, the Babyface Ricky Morton. then you can go on Real Ricky Morton Twitter, and I'm out there. But guys, you know, like you said, you know, I got to go on. I got my so son over here wanting me to take him downtown here at Bristol to look at something. And, but to me, it's a great pleasure for you to have me on your show. It's a great honor. And I want to thank you guys very much. I'd like to come back on sometimes. We've got a little bit more time. We can talk about something else.
Well, certainly will.
Go, boss!
There you go, baby. And we're coming down to see you in a couple of 3 weeks. We're just going to show up on a Sunday. God bless you, Ricky. Thank you so much.
You too, buddy.
And I want you to know that Branson will not sleep tonight.
Yeah, the first Sunday of the month, I run a show at my school.
Uh-huh.
It starts at 5 o'clock. Y'all come and see it.
We will. Thank you.
First Sunday every month. Go on my Facebook, Stella Morton, and you'll find it.
We got
you. See you, guys.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I know that we've got some breaks to catch up on. I'm going to have to go find some oxygen. If you were here and you could see Branson's face right now, this is pretty awesome. This is what it's all about. And Ricky Morton was awesome.
Oh, complete.
So I don't know. You want to run one or two breaks? You tell me. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to come back. We got Major League Baseball. We got college football. We got a lot of things to talk about, but that was pretty cool. We'll be back on the Locker Room Show right after this.
Need a new ride, but you're short on credit? You need to see Crompton's Auto Mart in Waynesville. Crompton's offers guaranteed bank credit approval, regardless of your credit history. Guaranteed. Crompton's will treat you like family. They're dedicated to the service and needs of our community. They also offer complete vehicle service and repairs. Crompton's Auto Mart, 1256 Delwood Road in Waynesville. Call David at 828-456-2251 or stop in and meet the team at Crompton's Auto Mart.
Do away with the same old, same old. Give an elegant gift or keepsake from CNC Creative Enterprises. Your creation begins with a wine bottle and 20 LED lights. Next, you select an etched design themed for birthday, wedding, anniversary, or your custom message. Here's a beautiful and personalized gift that will be cherished for always. To find out more, email gwsmith91445@outlook.com or call 828-276-5311 for CNC Creative Enterprises.
FM 101.7, AM 920, WPTL, Canton.
Dad, this college has had a new president every year since 1888.
Yeah.
That's the year we won our last football game. Now, I like education as well as the next fellow.
I'll move over and I'll talk to the next fellow.
But a college needs something else besides education. What this college needs is a good football team. And you can't have a good football team unless you have good football players.
My boy, I think you've got something there. I'll wait outside until you clean it up.
The Marx Brothers. And tell everyone what movie that comes from.
That's from Horse Feathers from 1932.
And it is an all-time classic. And as a matter of fact, that probably is the first football movie.
I think it almost has to be. That 1932, talkies hadn't been out that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Branson.
Yep.
You good? Before we start talking about the trade that the Patriots made today, are you good? Tell me a little bit about what you're thinking.
I'm good. Not every day that you get to talk to somebody like that. Not every day that you get to talk to a WWE Hall of Fame legend, Ricky Morton.
Very gracious.
Yeah.
I thought he was very gracious with his time.
And he didn't have to do that. I mean, he could have been doing something else.
Yeah, yeah. And man, I was impressed. So you and Mike and I are going to make a trip to Chuckeytown, Tennessee.
Yep.
And real quickly, I know we have a caller, but real quickly, let me pull this up here. Area code 423-297-7623. 423-297-7623, and that is the School of Morton. Go to his Facebook page, like he said. Really, I mean, the guy could not have been more gracious and with his time, and I appreciate that. And I know that was a thrill. It's a thrill for me, and I know it's a thrill for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got Mike on the phone.
Mikey!
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm well, Coach. How's open house?
In between classes. Hey, I was looking him up on the internet. I think Branson can whip him. I think Branson can take him. I think I'm going to set up a challenge.
Oh, Lord.
We can go to Chucky, Tennessee, put Branson in a singlet, and they can go at it, man. This could be pretty good. Could be a good deal.
And we each have phones that we could take videos with, as Hank Hill says.
And Sal, this could be like a Tuscola football fundraiser.
Oh, my gosh.
Get Branson in one of them black and gold tees, and off they go. No, that was good. That was really good. Y'all did a great job.
That's pretty cool. He was very gracious. And how are you? We miss you tonight, but we know that you have things that are really important.
Yeah, I got to do some stuff. I got to get back, but I just wanted to pop in and say hello. And Branson, y'all did a great job. That was a good set right there. And wrestling, it's a good deal.
And you'll be back here next Monday.
You guys be good.
You're going to be back next Monday, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Absolutely.
Okay, and real quick, any weather issues out in Hendersonville way?
Nah, we dodged a bullet. We're very lucky.
Yep, so
blessed
did we.
The ones that didn't get as lucky as we were. So
yep.
Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And
we will.
Do everything you can. Getting to be that season.
It is, buddy. All right, Mikey, we'll see you later on this week.
See you,
okay,
Mike.
You guys be good.
Bye-bye. Coach Matthews, look at that. He's setting up the match between Hall of Famer Ricky Morton and the man, the myth, the legend, Branson Reese.
Listen, a 62-year-old Ricky Morton would probably absolutely beat up a 43-year-old too-bad-kneed Branson Reese. I'll just say that. I'm not afraid to say that.
Well, I will tell you that before we move on to other things, if you study and do a little research on it, if they are not the greatest tag team in the history of wrestling, there's only two or three in the same group with them.
Yeah.
They did a phenomenal job of connecting with the people. And I think the only sad part is those guys, you know, they were on TV two and three and four times a week,
yeah,
traveling all over, and packing houses, and they just, you know, everybody made the money but them.
But you know, let me tell you the crazy part about that is, and my cousin Matt and I were talking about this today. You know, at no point did Ricky and Robert ever be in the same federation with Hulk Hogan. It was always one of those deals that they dodged because they were out of WCW and NWA when Hogan came in, you know, and like he said, you know, that shows his loyalty to Ric Flair. You know, he showed his loyalty to Dusty Rhodes and everything. So, you know, and I understand what he's saying about the money part. I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got to take care of you before, you know, everything else. And back then, like he said, the guys that were booking the shows were making the money,
yep,
and then distributing.
Because if you every Sunday after church, the Asheville Civic Center,
yep,
was packed. I don't mean a little bit, and I mean you had the grandmas down in the front row with the umbrellas that had beat the crap out of these guys. When Ric Flair was walking to the ring, they look at the old films.
Yep.
They had the APD, had to escort him. These ladies, these little old ladies just beating the crap out of him,
yeah,
with their umbrellas.
They'd take their tennis balls off the bottom of their off the bottom of the walkers just so they could make a good hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
And I mean, you're good at what you do when that happens.
Yeah.
When you are a heel, which means you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
When they hate you, you're really good at what you do. And when you're a baby face, which means you're a good guy, like those guys like Steamboat and Ricky and Robert and Wahoo.
Yeah.
You're really good at what you do. And I think, you know, I don't watch it much anymore because I don't think it's –
yeah,
I think it's just a bunch of hoo-ha. If you just want to know the truth, you know, and if I make you mad, I apologize in advance. But I just think it's a bunch of hoo-ha with a bunch of steroided up people that can walk out there and they're not even good on the mic.
Well, see, the
if
problem,
you want to be good on the mic,
yeah,
go watch Ric Flair. If you want to be good on the mic, watch Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
Watch these guys.
Yeah.
They knew. Watch Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, my gosh.
When it, The match was secondary to them being able to stand up and talk.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
Dusty Rhodes, The Rock. All of these guys knew how to get on the mic.
Yeah.
You know, and they gave them an open mic. And that's one of the, to me, is like one of the lost.
It is.
The lost things of professional wrestling. I mean, because like last night, there was a pay-per-view last night, you know, and you see somebody with their finishing move, and they have to hit it three times in order to knock somebody out. You know, back then, or, you know, Ricky and Robert threw a double drop kick, and they were out. You were out. It was all you saw was, you know, three slaps in the lights. That was it, you know, and, you know, ringing the bell.
But we are, when I say that we're going, I'm not just saying that. We're going to Chucky Town. And we're going to have a really good time. We're going to get, and I would love, and I can't tell you how impressed I was with his time, and him being, and there's so many, we could have talked for hours.
Yeah. I've never seen him at a point that he did not address a fan that came up to him, you know, I've never seen him push anybody away. You know, I think that he did his craft for so many years that, you know, in the last 15 years, I've went, like we said, we went watched him in Clyde and Waynesville, and he will sit and he will talk to each individual, and he'll reminisce of old stories, you know, and stuff, and that's so cool. I mean, that you'll
you're on the inside now. You're on the inside. All right.